And welcome to The Joe Project.
We didn't introduce me. I'm Valerie.
And welcome to The Joe Project. The Joe Project seeks to discover the intersectionality between mental health and the gospel. We want to debunk myths and stop over-spiritualizing mental health, period. Valerie, how are you? Valerie, I don't think that your excitement level isn't matching the new things that are happening in the life of The Joe Project.
Got it. Is that better?
It's better. So for those of you
so excited,
those of you who are listening, thank you so much for listening to The Joe Project. We are back. But for those of you who are watching, because it's our first video podcast, thank you so much for watching. We are on YouTube. I think the video option is also on Spotify as well, so you can watch us on Spotify.
Ooh, fancy.
Very fancy. You can watch us on Spotify as well. Don't know if you can watch us on Apple. Who knows? Don't know. But yeah, we are now doing video. So definitely, our AC just went on. And you know what? It's going to be fine. We're just going to roll with it. Definitely go and subscribe to our channel. Subscribe to our Spotify channel. Subscribe to Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to wherever you get podcasts so that you can get more of The Joe Project. We really appreciate it.
Hit like so you don't miss anything that we got going down here on The Joe Project. Oh, we can do that now. I've always wanted to do that. All right, continue.
Oh, my God. I feel like going to video is going to be stressful for me.
Life-changing.
It's going to be life-changing.
Because now you guys get to see the faces behind the podcast.
And I just need y'all to understand that all of the faces that you see now, they're not happening because the video is here. This is just what we look like.
Yeah, I'm pretty dramatic. So is he.
I'm not dramatic.
I consider it our Caribbean background.
I'm not dramatic. I'm pretty,
yeah, okay.
I'm not dramatic.
Says the person who did theater for years.
That don't mean I'm dramatic. That just means I studied how to be dramatic. Doesn't mean I'm dramatic.
The way he described that.
Anyway.
Was dramatic.
Okay. Anyway.
Anyways.
Anyway. Yeah, so how are you? Where have you been? What's going on?
You know,
I do. Where have I been?
I mean, you do know. So we had a baby. I think we dropped our last episode literally the day she was born, which is wild. She was born November 1st, 2022. It's our Princess Imani because she runs the house. Yeah, I got a new job too. I don't know if we talked about my new job on the podcast yet, but I started a new clinical research job. So I'm doing psychological assessments and utilizing all my mental health and psychology knowledge to diagnose people for research, meaning it's not an official diagnosis. It's like, oh, we're doing this assessment. It's giving depression. So therefore, they can do a study looking for people who have depression. You see what I'm saying? We do depression, bipolar disorder, which is fascinating to see. Schizophrenia, very fascinating. Schizoaffective, which is schizophrenia, but with mood episodes. We're doing an anxiety study. It's just a lot.
There's a lot happening over in the life of Valerie.
There's
like,
a lot.
And like two-thirds of that stuff that she said, I don't know what it is. So you know how, you know the joke over here at The Joe Project. I went to music school, right? And whenever Valerie talks about this stuff, I'm like, you're doing a great job, honey. I'm so proud. But yeah, we had a baby.
A whole baby.
An entire baby. And the last we spoke, I feel like The Joe Project knew. I feel like y'all knew. I actually left my job as a teacher. So I am now a stay-at-home dad. I work at church, so I still have a job, right? I'm the vocal director at my church. I'm working with the worship ministry and kind of like building that up. Shout out to Epiphany Brooklyn. Bop, bop. So I'm home with the baby. Valerie goes off to work with the people of God over at that spot in Jersey. Okay, I'm just going to slip
not
in people.
All of them are believers.
Oh, my gosh. It's just a figure of speech for your boy. But, yeah, so that's kind of where we are. And obviously, look me in my eyes, people of God. Obviously, parenting is so easy. Like, I don't even understand why people be talking about how hard it is. Parenting is literally the simplest thing. Like, it literally, it feels like it comes with a manual. That's how easy it is.
Incorrect.
You didn't have to shout me out so quickly. Parenting is hard.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to sound reductive and be like, oh, parenting is hard, so don't become a parent. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is even with our baby, the light of our life, the apple of our eye.
She's so cute.
Mm-hmm, she is so cute, but she's also making lots of noises and yelling, waking up at 5:45 in the morning.
Like, I love the yelling because I yell with her because it's like it's a party. But the 5:30 one, that's the kicker. I'm not a morning person. Neither is my beautifully crafted, wonderful husband. So therefore, these 5:30 wake-ups leave us, I don't know if we look tired.
No, we look fantastic.
I hope so. But
put in the comments, how do we look?
If we look tired, that's why. So don't judge us, okay?
Yeah. Well, and also, the baby's asleep. We're recording this at like 9 o'clock at night. Because
it's
parents...
It's 8.
Oh my gosh. Parents got to do what parents got
to
do.
I don't want to lie to the people. I don't want to lie to the people.
But yeah, so how are you navigating life with a newborn baby now?
Like, honestly?
No, I would love for you to lie.
It's hard. I will be honest. I am perpetually burnt out at this point. So it's been a lot of, okay, how do I navigate feeling tired all the time? How do I navigate my own mental health at this time? How do I navigate spending time with the Lord? How do I navigate any type of self-care and exercise? How do I navigate so many different things that I didn't have to think twice about? And now I do. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I can't give a definitive answer on how I'm doing. It's more like I'm just literally on God, like leaning very heavily on the Lord and depending on Him very heavily because I ain't got it.
It made me think of the it was a clip off of one of Kanye's albums. It was the fraternity Broke Phi Broke. We ain't got it. Okay.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's the one Kanye album that I listened to from way back in the day.
Okay.
Yeah. I love Jesus. I wasn't allowed to listen to Kanye.
Got it.
Anyway.
What about you, Dad?
What up?
Granted, you know, postpartum is, I mean, I literally physically had a baby. So that's fun. Oh, yeah, my hips and my back hurt when I play tennis now. That's new. I need to go to a chiropractor, but I keep forgetting because I'm thinking about everything else I got to do. So what about you, Chris?
You know, I'm out here. I'm doing the best I can.
That's true. He is doing the best he can.
I was about to say, don't you...
But today was one of those days where it was like, ooh, it was rough. What happened?
You want me to specifically talk about today, or you want me to talk in general?
I guess you could talk in general, but I feel like today is exemplary of... Exemplary? Is that the right word? Exemplifies the tough part.
All right, let me tell y'all what happened, all right? Baby, love my life. Love her so much, right? We've gotten into a routine. So I've been home with her solo for, at least several weeks, if not upwards of a month and a half. My sister-in-law, Val's sister, was with us for a little bit to help take care of the baby, and we're really grateful for that time, just because having extra hands with the baby is incredibly helpful. It gives us time to be human beings, and it's just wonderful. So, but anyway, I've been with the baby kind of solo for about a month and a half. And as the time went on, we kind of got into a routine. She would nap, she'd wake up, she'd eat, we'd go for a walk, read a book, play on the floor, that kind of thing, right? And it just comes with an expectation. It's not even like I set a schedule for her. It's just I realize that this is when she falls asleep, and this is when she wakes up, and this is what she eats, and she prefers to eat solid food here and milk here, right? So all of that stuff. We have a pretty much unofficial schedule. But the thing is, sometimes babies change their schedule for no reason.
It's for developmental reasons.
For no reason.
Like this one, she learned how to pull herself up and stand up, which is amazing.
For no reason.
Prime athlete at this point.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. She's at the stage now where she does 2 naps a day, and she naps for about an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours at a time, right? And usually when I'm working from home, I can only really focus on work when she's napping. So I put her down for a nap, and I went to go take a shower. I mean, your boy was just trying to get clean. He had that African black soap. He was just like, And then I stick my head out the shower, and I have the monitor in the bathroom, and my girl is yelling and screaming and standing right at the railing.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I need to explain to you how quickly I moved, okay?
Yeah, as you should.
Right, because I wanted my baby to be safe. Hear me, I'm a good father. But I jumped out the bathroom so fast. I wrapped myself up because holiness is still right. And I ran to the room and I said, you need to go back to sleep. So I actually laid her back down because this is a sleep training trick. Usually if the baby wakes up and is really fussy, you lay the baby back down, you calm the baby down, give her the pacifier, and then you get at it, skedaddle, right? I did that, but I didn't think that she was going to fall back asleep. I just need to put some drawers on. So that was probably TMI. So, you know. But
we'll edit that out in post.
We can't edit it out in post. It's video.
Continue. This is going to be fun. God. This is going to be fun.
So long story short, today was one of those days where her established schedule kind of went out the window.
Get it out of there.
And actually, it's something that conceptually I understood about kids in general. I understood that sometimes the schedule that they had that worked for them just goes out the window one day and they're just like, nah, I don't want that anymore. Like, she was at 3 naps and she went down to 2 naps and we had to adjust to that schedule. Now, I don't know what she's going to be like tomorrow.
No idea.
And that's kind of the scary part. And that's kind of where I'm navigating, just because and this is kind of a general thing too, I really struggle with when things don't go the way that I think they're supposed to go.
Same.
Right? No, so I react to it a lot stronger.
I don't feel like you do.
You
think you do?
Yes.
Continue.
Yeah.
We will debate that later.
I will debate you right now.
Not on the People's Podcast. No.
This is a welcome back episode. They're not coming here for no substance. They're coming here to see our faces and smile. Anyway, no, because like conceptually, it's like, bro, you're supposed to be asleep, but you're not going to sleep. And that makes me upset. Right?
Got it.
Or this chair is supposed to fold this way, but it's not folding. I get frustrated by that more than you do.
Got it.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I've been having to really navigate, is having a quote unquote schedule, but still being flexible enough to pivot, right? Because the flexibility for me was originally in the activities we did, right? Sometimes she's cooking with me, sometimes she's just in her chair, sometimes she's playing with her piano, right? But then sometimes she's just not napping, and that's not what I want. But the baby doesn't care what I want. The baby wants what she wants. So
excuse me. I'm not yawning because I'm bored. I'm yawning because I'm tired.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm so sorry. Continue.
Oh, my gosh. And then you mentioned Jesus because, you know, that's what you
yeah,
do.
The foundation of our life.
You're more saved than I am.
No. You didn't listen to Kanye when you were little.
I wasn't allowed to.
But you would have if you could have?
I couldn't tell you. I wasn't allowed to.
Oh, okay.
All right. I mean, spiritually, I feel like I've been forced to rely on God. Not at gunpoint, right? That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that,
oh,
like,
my gosh.
I've been parenting is hard, and there are some things that I actually do know how to do, but there's a lot of stuff that there's no handbook for, right? And even with the support of our peers and even with the support of our families and advice from them, it's still it's still hard, right? And I'm still having to just rely on the Lord for strength, rely on the Lord for wisdom, especially wisdom on how to emotionally regulate.
Yeah.
It's just hard out here.
Can I talk about that?
You can. It's your podcast.
Our.
Okay.
The Lord's.
It's ours, yeah.
Go ahead. It's the Lord's podcast. Let me tell you something about emotional regulation, okay? You and I have been in therapy for how long now? Like 3+ years? And my therapist gives me a lot of tools with which to utilize for emotional regulation. But when you factor in sleep deprivation, having to work full time, work from home, entrepreneurial life, consistently thinking about working, going to church, paying bills, cleaning the house, grocery shopping, cooking, just life in general. Where's the time and the energy to emotionally regulate when emotions get high? I feel like I have to constantly just push through and keep going. There's no time for me to sit, cry. My baby needs her diaper changed, right?
That's so funny you say that, because there have been times, okay? I'm a good dad. There have been times where the baby has been crying, and I've been so overwhelmed that I take, she has a chair that we, like her high chair. She's strapped in. She's safe, right? My eye is on her, right? But I put her in the chair, and I have to put my, what is it called? The noise-canceling headphones on for just 5 minutes, right? I just need to, you can cry. Because the problem sometimes is, the way I was taught is that if the baby's crying, you check if they're hungry, you check if they're sleepy, you check if their pamper is full, and you check if something is like outwardly hurting them, something that's making them uncomfortable. If they're crying because they're bored, that's a whole nother thing, right? So after I check all of those, if I can't find something, I'm like, and especially if I'm at the end of my rope, I'm like, I don't know what to do, right? And I mean, this is not a comparison thing. You're out at work during the day, right? So when you come home for the hours that you're able to be with her in the morning and in the evening, if she just starts to cry and starts to be fussy, I feel like you have more emotional capacity, at least in those moments. Even if you've had a hard day at work, dealing with your daughter is different. So sometimes I feel like you have more emotional capacity to kind of like push through and work through with her. Whereas with me, if she started crying at 8 o'clock in the morning and cries and is like fussy until 3:30 in the afternoon, sometimes it gets to 3:30 in the afternoon and I'm like, you're going to cry from 3:30 to 3:35 and I'm going to take a break. You're going to be strapped into your chair. I'm going to be seated next to you or close to you. My eyes are going to be on you. I'm watching you. But also I need to take a break. Because I will not be able to continue serving you if I am this emotionally distraught.
Yeah. I mean, again, there is no comparison, but and it's hard both ways, because while I'm at work, I'm half at work, half thinking about you guys. Especially if I don't hear from you, I'm like, oh boy. When I look at our app where we you know, try to dialogue as best as we can, her sleeping and her eating, so we have a pattern with which to follow, but also the other person could just pick up where the other person left off if we're not able to exchange information. If I see that she hasn't slept, if I see that, you know, she, like today, I looked at the app and I'm like, she only slept for 45 minutes in the morning and like 30 in the afternoon. How is Chris? I'm gonna assume he's probably not the best, which is why when I came home, I immediately was like, you go take a break, I'll take the baby. Now when I'm with the baby, I'm good for like maybe an hour, but then when the hour and a half mark comes, when she's getting fussy or she wants to be more active than I have the energy for, I actually start checking out because I am so tired, because I had to put forth so much energy to interact with coworkers, to interact with patients or research participants. Let me not say subjects, because that sounds...
sounds like you're an evil, like a mad scientist.
Right, which I'm not.
I'm so just imagining you like, oh, my subjects. I don't know what that was.
I would never do that. I would never do that. I just think it was funny, like,
Why did you have like, to think about it?
That's something I would do, like being actually my subjects, but I would do it as a joke. But it requires a lot of energy. And like I mentioned before, it requires energy that kind of goes beyond what is, I don't want to say normal. So I'm not saying I'm being fake, but you know, I have to code switch. I have to be professional. I'm interacting with a lot of different personalities. The work is great and I'm learning a lot, but it's difficult work. It's a very steep learning curve. So there's a lot of different elements to it that drain me of energy. So when I come home, I get really excited to see you. I get really excited to see the baby. But then I feel like my emotion or like my energy levels start to tank. And when I'm physically tired, it's hard for me to mentally and emotionally be alert and okay. Like, I don't know why my physical and emotional energy are very highly tied. My physical and mental energy are tied as well. So there is a very sharp decline at a certain point. I don't know if you saw today, I took the baby. She was playing on the floor. I FaceTimed my sister to help keep myself engaged in some capacity because I have a tendency to check out. I'm not a bad mom. I'm just a mom who is still dealing with postpartum, who is perpetually burnt out.
Mm-hmm. You judged me for telling the people I'm a good dad twice.
I didn't judge you.
All right.
I made a face because I'm dramatic, but I completely understand. So I know some of the things we're learning is, all to say, we're learning how to lean on Jesus in ways that we never thought we needed to, or ways that we probably wouldn't have if not for the baby. Like, I've had to, and I have a long commute as well, so that doesn't help. I have to
How long is your commute?
And between 45 minutes to an hour, hour 15, an hour 30 if there's traffic. And then tolls. Don't get me started. Inflation is real. I know you used to have a really bad commute.
Listen.
But that was before a baby. So
I could
come home and chill. All you'd have to do is hang out with me.
Listen, I was laying it all down for my family.
As I am now.
I'm a good husband.
Right. Anyways, as I was saying, no, you are a good husband. I've had plenty of car rides where I'm like, God, I can't do it. I don't got it. You're going to have to do it because I don't got it. You're going to have to give me the energy. I don't got it. God, I've been mad for months now at certain work situations. I don't have the capacity to parse through these emotions in a healthy way that is glorifying to Jesus every time. So God, you're going to have to help me navigate it. And God is faithful. He does. And I would also love, I guess, a little bit more ease. Which is why I'm like, listen, if you want to have a baby, it's a beautiful thing. Children are a gift from the Lord. That's what the Bible says. We're able to leave an inheritance for our children's children. That's not just money. I'm thinking emotional health, breaking generational patterns that are unhealthy. We're stopping with us. It's just, I would say this is why community is so important, because you need help. You need help. You need help. You need help. If you're the type of person that struggles to ask for help, learn how to learn that skill now so that when the baby comes, you're not thinking twice about it.
Do you know how to ask for help?
I'm still working on it. I've had a friend come over to help with the baby. I was here, so it helped a little bit, but I did have to go to therapy for like 45 minutes and I was like, not okay. You'd think I'm talking to my therapist. I'm focused. No, I'm constantly thinking about my baby.
You're a mom.
Like, it doesn't end. But, like family members. It's because like my sister stayed, so I trust her because she basically helped raise the baby. My mom's a pediatrician. Mm-hmm. His mom had 5 kids. So,
five of us. There's 4 other me's.
Right.
They're their own people. But, you know.
But it's like, unfortunately, they either live far away or their certain just capacities are very limited in terms of taking care of a baby. So we're trying to learn how to ask for help through our church community mostly. And to just trust God with the nuance of that, because I like to be in control. I know my baby, who's going to take care of our baby better than us, but we also need to go on a date. Like, we haven't been on a date in months,
I need to take this little shawty out somewhere.
Yeah, I need to be taken out, she you know, we don't need to go to a fancy restaurant, just get a little ice cream because it's summer. Or we could get cookies because now Chip City's in Hoboken. Hi.
We're not sponsored.
One day, hopefully. But yeah.
Not Chip City sponsoring the mental health podcast.
I mean, that would be spectacular because I've been eating Chip for years now. Anyway, all to say, it's been a lot. I don't think I dealt with postpartum depression. I definitely had baby blues because that's a thing because of the sharp change in hormones. But I think I have dealt with being burnt out. Mm-hmm. And that has an end.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, especially since the pandemic, everybody's experienced a version of burnout. But what has been different about your experience with burnout since having the baby?
Well, our country does a horrible job of providing moms and dads the ability to bond, take care of, adjust, and navigate the nuances of having an infant.
Really? Yes. I mean, I figure that they give you plenty of time because you just popped. No.
So,
how much time did you actually get off?
Like 2 months. And that's because I had just started my job. So I didn't have the 90 days. I was close. I didn't have the 90 days with which to get the full benefits. But then the full benefits was only a month extra. On top of that.
I still don't get that.
That don't make no sense, by the way.
I don't, because you explained it to me and I still don't understand it. Like, did anybody who ever had a baby, were they involved in, like, the decision making for how to do maternity leave, right? Because in my head, I'm like,
doubt it.
I'm like, bro, you went in and you had a C-section, right?
They literally cut me open.
Right, that's
took out the baby.
That is major abdominal surgery up top, right there. There we go.
They went through 7 or 8 layers to get to Princess Imani.
Mm-hmm. But even if you didn't, even if you did a regular vaginal birth,
that's a
like,
lot.
That's also a whole lot, right? Yo, in high school, they showed us. Did they show you the Miracle of Life in high school?
Unfortunately.
Okay, great. So if you remember the Miracle of Life, sorry to bring this back to your memory, but like,
trigger warning?
No, not a, no.
We're not showing images.
No.
We're just talking about it.
I'm just mentioning it. It's okay. Having a baby.
Ignore right? what I said.
It's just the fact that like, all of that stuff happens. All of that physical bodily trauma happens, whether it's C-section or regular, I don't want to say regular because C-section is regular for
vaginal delivery.
There we go. Thank you. That I forgot
the word. It's called vaginal delivery.
Are you having fun saying that? Say it one more time for
vaginal delivery. It's just a statement. I don't know why you're being weird about it.
Because I'm 12.
Anyways.
But like whether it's C-section or vaginal delivery, like it still causes a lot of bodily trauma that needs recovery, right? And I'm a guy, right? So even though I'm like advocating for you and advocating for women and people who are having babies, it's like, I don't even know the full picture of it. So if I were to make legislation or rules about it, I would be coming at it from a almost like a clouded lens. Like I wouldn't be able to get a full picture of what would actually be necessary for you to fully recover and re-enter the workforce at the same capacity that you left. And here's the other thing, because you talked about this with me a lot. You've been talking about your own capacity as you've gone back to work, not just work, but also at church and things that don't have to do with the baby. Could you talk about that for a second?
Well, and let's not forget breastfeeding. Like your body literally is creating sustenance for your baby. So on top of sleep deprivation, your body recovering from a major trauma, you literally had a human being. All of your organs shifted, diaphragm pressed up, 50% more blood in your body, hormones out the wazoo, all for that to change very drastically. Then I was breastfeeding. I only did it for 6 months. I was just enough producer, but honestly, I was an underproducer. Why? Because there were certain things that I could have done to help increase my milk supply, but I had to go to work. And it was difficult for me to focus on drinking enough water or drinking enough electrolytes and pumping enough times because it kept taking me away from work. And it's just like you have to, I don't want to say you have to be in a certain mindset to pump or breastfeed, but you kind of do. Like, you have to be okay to just be present. Because stress apparently does impact your ability to produce, which I'd imagine hormones, any type of hormone can change it. So I feel like that, on top of having mom brain, which is a real thing, it was like I couldn't remember things that somebody could literally tell me something and I could forget it instantly. It's not like I wasn't listening. It's almost like my brain processing speed, if a normal is at a 10, it was like at a 2. And it didn't make any sense to me. Now, it did get better after I stopped breastfeeding, but I stopped breastfeeding, which that in and of itself was very difficult to make a decision on. So I feel like my capacity shifted a lot because my energy kept getting drained to sustain the life of my child in whatever capacity that looked like. And then brought insecurities about, am I even being productive? Like, productivity looks different. You can't spend hours working on a project, working on an assessment. Like, you do what you can, baby starts crying, you gotta go. And then, like, going to work and being in the office, it's like, okay, cool, I have a little bit of an easier time focusing, but like I said, half the time I'm thinking about you. And I know that you're a grown man and you can handle yourself accordingly. I'm a good dad. And I'm a mom. And a wife who cares very deeply about the well-being of her close peeps, her family.
Oh, you care about me?
Yes.
You think I'm cute?
Sure.
You gonna marry me?
You interrupted me. He's distracting me, guys. Tell him to stop. Anyway, all to say, my capacity, and I feel like it lowered. Most people would be like, you're a mom, and you're working full-time, and you're a wife, and you help manage your household alongside your husband. You're killing it. I'm like, barely. My capacity looks different because I have to split in so many different directions. And I love my baby. She brings us a lot of joy, but she can't reciprocate
words are hard.
The effort with which we have to put forth to take care of her. This is selfless. This is very sacrificial love to be a parent. And this is something we're living with for the rest of our lives. So it's also navigating how your identity shifts too, because your capacity changes. You're like, I can't do these things. Why? You know, it's just, I could go on and on, but I feel like my capacity lowered, but stupid capitalistic ideals I'm trying to shove out of my head, because that's what I'm thinking of. We live in America. We live in the United States of America. Let me not say America, because there's North America, South America. We live in the United States. Productivity is what brings value. And even though God does not say that, and we're learning to identify more with what Christ sets before us, it's hard to get out of that mindset when you're surrounded by it, when you see it, when you're around people who are able to do a lot of things and you can't because you have a baby. So capacity changed, capacity shifted, and it looks very differently, and I'm trying to make sense of it still. What about you?
I didn't have dad brain. I was asking specifically about, like...
Oh, the mom brain. Lowered. Yeah. Memory sucks. Processing speed is lower. I have to write everything down, which I didn't have to before as much.
Right.
And like I said, I have a job where my attention is split in various different ways, because there's so many things that are in my role. So, yeah, it's a lot.
You're doing a great job.
Thanks. Which I'm trying to recognize that a good job is not going to look like how it did before. My therapist said, if you only have 40%, 40% is your 100% that day. And I was like, that was good. I'm an amazing mom.
Point with some power. Like, give me strong arm. Where is that? There it is.
I'm an amazing mom.
What was that pause?
Who is exhausted and want a vacation, though?
What was that pause, though?
I have no idea. It's for dramatic effects, because I'm dramatic. I don't know how to be on video. I don't be on video that often.
You can't tell the people on video, I don't know what I'm doing, bro.
I really don't.
Okay.
This is the Lord Jesus.
So, that's where we've been.
Yeah, we're sorry we don't have content, but we hope you understand why.
I'm not sorry that we don't have content.
I'm a little sorry. I know y'all miss us.
I'm not sorry at all. But here's why. Here's why. Because, and I think it's something that you mentioned kind of in passing.
See, I don't remember what I said.
I'm going to tell you what you said.
I'm sure I won't remember.
There is the concept of being productive that you were talking about.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Right? And I am not saying that as a podcast, I want to be inconsistent. Right? That's not my goal. My goal is to, you know, grow the podcast. We'll talk about where we're going in a second. Clearly, we're doing new things. But my goal is also not to let our podcast or our jobs, me working at church, Val working at her new job, even parenting, run us into the ground. And I think that's something that we are taught in America and that we are taught as first-generation Americans, too. I think we were taught it from our parents as well.
That's a whole other onion level, layer.
It's a whole
I'm thinking video games. Because I don't know if anyone's played Tears of the Kingdom. So I'm like, levels. There are levels in Tears of the Kingdom. You know what? Ignore me. Onion level. I said it again. Onion layer to unfold. Being a child of immigrant parents. We should do an episode on that. Mental health as a child of immigrants. Anyway, continue.
How are you able to keep... I'm dying over here. Okay. Shoot, what was I saying? Child of immigrants. Okay, I got... I forgot. But yeah, both being an American and being a child of immigrant parents, whether taught explicitly or implicitly, I feel like we were taught to grind. Right? That's the American mindset, I feel like.
Work.
Mm-hmm. Right? And then, above all else, sacrifice for your family. You hear me? Not saying that you shouldn't prioritize your family. I believe that your family should be your first priority. However, I also know, and somebody taught me this, it's probably Valerie. I also know that if I'm doing terribly, like if emotionally I'm a wreck, if I'm depressed, if I'm not showering. God knows if I'm not showering. If I'm not emotionally present, then I'm a terrible father and I'm a terrible husband. And I need you to look at me. I'm going to look at my camera. Look at me. I'm a good father. So I need some of that self-care time, some of that time to make sure that mentally I'm okay, physically I'm okay, spiritually I'm okay, right? But sometimes that means taking a break from some things, right? As a matter of fact, and I've seen this only at two churches. One is Transformation Church and one is our church. The pastor just goes on a sabbatical for a month to 6 weeks.
I need me a sabbatical. I don't think you can take a sabbatical from parenthood.
You can. You can. It's called a vacation and drop the kids off at grandma's. But they prioritize rest and they prioritize taking care of themselves so that they can come back and be better servants of their church, right? So what we're doing and what we're aiming to do is put together quality episodes, quality content, quality information, quality things that you would want to see as well. Without running us into the ground, because what I don't want to have happen is we go in and we do 52 episodes this year, one episode a week, right? Even though it's now August. But we do 52 episodes from now until next year, right? And the first 10 episodes are lit, and then the last 42 episodes are garbage, basura, get it out of here, mm-hmm. Right? It wouldn't serve you, and it wouldn't serve us either.
I have something I need to say.
You know what I'm
when you're done.
You know what I'm a cut in right here?
What?
I'm a cut in Rogelio from...
I have something to... I also think God gives us time away. Granted, it wasn't a vacation. We had a child. But in the light of comparing it to like a sabbatical or vacation, I'd argue too that... Well, we're not arguing. I'd add that.
I mean, I'm willing to argue.
It also gives you time to just be with the Lord? Because I know there is a certain element of I can be a better server if I'm getting refreshed and taking a break and getting fresher perspectives. And I feel like God does a lot in those periods of time, because I feel like in the last 9 months alone, I've had to learn what people pleasing does and how it's detrimental, because I literally have no capacity for everybody out here in these streets.
Let me tell you something. Valerie is cussing people out. I'm not finna do that. People at work are like, hey, Val, could you do this? And she's literally looking at them and saying, I would rather die. That's what she's saying.
No. Okay. It's more like boundaries and putting them up. And I think that's important. Jesus put up boundaries. Interestingly enough, he was God incarnate as a human, and he still had boundaries. He prayed alone. He brought a couple people when he was in the trenches before he went to the cross. He had 12. One of them left, Judas, the traitor. But then he took three up to the Mount of Gethsemane to pray, which I always reference that because I feel like it's one of the most validating things to read in the Bible. Jesus, who was in eternity with the Lord in the beginning, knew he was going to die at a certain point in time. But because he became a human, because he became a human, he actually saw the human condition, experienced it, lived it, and recognized how difficult it was, and recognized how difficult his plight was. And I feel like all that time he spent praying alone, being refreshed by the Father, because he was on the earth for 33 years before he died. You know, why didn't he go out like 20, 23, 25, 28? I don't know. Get it done and over with. He was about timing. God's really strategic about timing. And I also wanted to couple that in, that learning not to people please, doing my job and learning a lot more about mental health, which when I realized, oh yeah, I don't have postpartum depression, because I literally go through depression criteria on a regular basis. I'm like, okay, I don't got all of that. Mm-hmm. But I definitely was burnt out. My therapist and I helped parse together, because I think another thing that I'm recognizing is there's a lot of pseudoscience out there. And that's a conviction of my heart. It's like, I want mental health to be accessible to people. God has been really, really at my heart about it. But I want right information being accessible to people so they can get the right tools that they need to get treated, or the right type of therapist they need to look for. And it's just interesting that it all happened during this rest period from the Job Project, that we got refreshed. We learned a lot. I mean, refreshed is a, I don't want to say strong
word. It's a relative term. Our passion was not saying that we weren't passionate. See, everything sounds
reignited.
Terrible. Reignited. The fire was still blazing, but some lighter fluid got thrown onto it.
Exactly.
That's what it was.
And God just refined and built it and cultivated it. So now we're able to come back full force with good information, more biblical knowledge, more conviction, more revelation from the Lord. And, you know, now on video. Because now we also have the capacity and ability to do video. I do feel a little bad. We missed you guys, but we hope that these new elements that we're adding will provide a new experience. I'm definitely going to share some things that I think I've said in the past on the podcast, all out of good intention, but now I'm learning a lot more, and I'm like, that was actually wrong. So, you know, and that's okay.
You know what? I love an accountable queen.
Yeah. You know, like I think I said something about avolition during the depression episode. That's for schizophrenia or psychosis, which is called a negative symptom.
Wait, why are you correcting yourself already?
I know somebody might reference that episode and be like, oh, I'm dealing with avolition. And I'm like, if you go to a psychologist, they're going to be like, so for a period of months on end, you literally couldn't do anything.
Stop. If you want to hear more.
But it's like I learned a lot more because now I'm in the trenches. I'm seeing it. You know, before I saw it, got a lot of knowledge about it, did a lot of research about it, wrote research papers about it. But now I'm sitting there with patients and actually seeing it in real time. I have so much more information to share. So, Lord willing, you know, we're able to do a lot more. Love that.
So, Valerie,
We're
on video now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What else are we planning for the future of the podcast? I know, but I'm just trying to set you up so that.
Besides video, what else? I don't know.
Instagram? Let me just look at the notes that you wrote.
More education. Like I said. We're definitely going to be funnier because now you get to see us in person.
Okay, all right. You can't just say we're going to be
funny. I'm not going to be funny.
Because what if somebody watches this and they're like, at least Chris is the corniest dude I've ever met in my life.
And somebody out there who smashes that subscribe button and follows us is going to be like, yo, this corny humor is giving everything that I need for it to give on this visual aspect of a podcast. Valerie's facial expressions are hilarious. I love how Chris cuts to them when he says stuff that is profound, and Valerie has no choice but to react to them.
Do that with your hands again?
No choice.
Okay, all right. Just that. I'll take the last one. The gospel being expressed more and more.
Yeah. Definitely feeling convicted about biblical truth.
I mean, okay.
Counseling is great. Therapy is great. Medication is great. You need Jesus for all of it.
Yeah.
I will say that.
You know, we here at the podcast, at the Job Project, the team here, all two of us, we've always believed that, like, therapy was never the answer. Therapy was
a tool.
Therapy is like a Home Depot. Therapy's like Home Depot or Lowe's because you go and you buy the tools from there, right? But then you have to take...
He's going to cut but then, my face.
Then you have to take them home and actually use them. And here's the problem. Sometimes we take home these tools and we use them in an incorrect way because we haven't been either properly trained or we're not being led the right way or we're making unwise decisions. So, for example, let's say I go... and I get, a leaf blower, right? That's a tool that I would use to blow leaves around, right? Because I need it. So I've gone to Lowe's, I've gone to therapy, I've gotten my tool, I've gotten my leaf blower. I'm now bringing it back home, right? If there's leaves in the front of the house, chances are I need to blow them away, but not at 3 a.m, right? What I'm saying is it takes wisdom to know when, where, and how to apply the tools that we've learned from therapy. Because I'm a guy who, like, he learns something new, wants to do it right away, right? I learned something new, and I'm very passionate about it, and I want to just start doing stuff with it, right? But sometimes I can't do that. Sometimes I need to wait. Sometimes I need to wait for the right time, wait for the right moment, right? And that's what therapy is. Therapy is going in, getting those tools, learning not just more about yourself, but more about how to kind of deal with yourself, but then also asking the Lord, like, yo, be present in not just this therapy session, but later when I try and implement this really difficult and really hard tool in this new way. So you're definitely getting the mental health, but we're also definitely kind of doubling down on
biblical wisdom, because wisdom begins with a fear from the Lord. I think that's Proverbs.
I was going to say, because, you know, we're mental health in the gospel, so I was going to say we're starting with the mental health. We're definitely bringing that, but we're also bringing the gospel. I wanted to say that so I can clip
it. My bad.
No, it's fine. All right.
Do you want to say it?
Do I want to say what?
Never mind.
I just said it.
You're right. Y'all, it's 8 o'clock. 8:30? I don't know what time it is.
8:45.
Oh, my gosh. I'm getting sleepy. But we're really excited to bring you guys new content.
With the dance, too. It's going to be great. So thank you for watching. Thank you so much for subscribing on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts.
Right.
On YouTube, on... is Friendster still a... It's not.
I don't know. If you're on YouTube, leave a comment below what topics you'd like us to discuss.
Yes,
do you
for
think
sure.
we're funny?
What topics you
positive
want us to
information, positive vibes only. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, I don't know how to do this. What do I say?
Here's your job. Leave a comment down below for something that you'd like to hear us chat about, or maybe even bring somebody in to chat about, because if you give us something that we're not really experts in or whatever, we might bring in somebody to kind of help us break it down as well. So we'd love to do that as well. Put it down in the comments. And I think that's it.
That's all we got, right?
If you're on Spotify and you can't, follow us on Instagram and let us know there.
All right. Yeah, follow us on Instagram.
Or on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or wherever you're listening this.
Well, if you follow us on Instagram, they need to know our Instagram name. You didn't let me say our Instagram name.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry.
If you want to follow us on Instagram, it's at the Joe Project Podcast. I think we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
We're done. Good job, everyone. Good job, everyone. I tried to stop it and it didn't stop. And we're...